Amen. And I could ask you the same question. Who brought you today? How did you get here? Why are you here? I wonder how many of you remember, and it might not be true in every case, how many of you remember coming to church because someone invited you? Some of us remember that. That is good. Well, take your Bibles, please, and open with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We are talking today about the fruit of faithful witnessing. Witnessing is simply telling somebody about Jesus, or inviting someone to church, or giving someone a tract at Halloween or whenever else. Witnessing is simply seeking that the good news of Jesus Christ would go forth to others. Does that bear fruit? Sometimes it seems like it doesn't. Sometimes we get discouraged thinking, it's no use. I've told my friend about Jesus. I invited someone to church and they didn't come. I've invited 10 people to church and none of them have come. Sometimes we get discouraged in witnessing, and I pray that today the Spirit of God will encourage you. I'm certain that is His goal with John 1, verses 35 to 51. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you. We go through entire books of the Bible in this church, generally speaking, and you're here at a good time. We have just started going through the Gospel of John. We are, Lord willing, today going to finish chapter 1, so you're getting in early. You're getting in while the getting's good. And today we are in 35 to 51. The title of the message is The Fruit of Faithful Witnessing. John 1, 35. Again, the next day, John, that's John the Baptist, stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. What time is that? Well, some would say 10 a.m., some would say 4 in the afternoon. Probably 4 in the afternoon, starting at 6 a.m. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, the Anointed One, the Savior, the King. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." That's like Denverite saying, "Can anything good come out of Pueblo?" Verse 42, just 47, just making sure you're paying attention. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." I will tell you, this is not an easy passage to preach, but I hope by the time I'm done, you could take it and preach it to somebody else. One of my goals always is that you could take what you hear and you could pass it on to somebody else. So question number one, what is this? What do we have here? Well, look back at 1:19. Now, this is the testimony of John. It's still that, right? We started in verse 35. Verse 35 says, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So this is still the testimony of John the Baptist. And you know the second question if you've heard me teach for a while. All right, well, what is it about the testimony of John the Baptist specifically? What the Spirit of God is showing us here is the fruit of John's faithful witnessing. You can't miss it. You get into this text and you can't miss it. The Spirit of God, and I'll show you as we go. Definitely, the Spirit of God is showing us, look, the faithful witness of John the Baptist is bearing fruit for the glory of God. This is good news. And beloved, the truth is this, faithful witnessing about Jesus Christ bears fruit in due time. Amen. That is the truth that's on display here. Faithful witnessing of Jesus Christ bears fruit in due time. That labor is never in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Yes, yeah, some seed falls by the wayside, and some falls on stony ground and thorny ground, but some will fall on good ground and it will bear fruit, the parable of the sower. So the question ought to be, like what? If faithful witnessing about Jesus Christ bears fruit in due time, fruit like what? And I'm going to give you at least five answers. Uh-oh. Right, because everybody knows it's probably going to be more than that. At least five answers to that question so that you might be encouraged to keep on witnessing despite any discouragement. Because I know we get discouraged in witnessing. I get discouraged by lack of opportunities. But when there is one and I see some evidence that something's happening here, I get excited. So, five answers to the question, what fruit might we expect to see if we are faithful to bear witness of Jesus Christ? Number one, maybe nothing at first. What is the fruit of faithful witnessing? Answer number one, maybe nothing at first, or nothing that you can see. Now, that's in verses 19 to 34, which we're not going to go over again. But in 19 to 34, we have John the Baptist out by the Jordan River witnessing of Jesus Christ, and it's after Jesus came and was baptized and went and spent 40 days in the wilderness. So for months, John the Baptist has been out in the wilderness. Another way of saying wilderness is people-less place. John the Baptist has been out in a place where there are no people living. He's been out there as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. God sent him to witness that Jesus was coming so that all would believe. And he's been out there for almost 2 months. Jesus came and was baptized by him, went and was tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness. He comes back here, and John is pointing out saying, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And everything we read from 19 to 34 suggests no one's following Jesus. Remember the priests and Levites came out to ask him all kinds of questions? They showed zero interest in what John had to say about Jesus. Zero interest. You know what? Sometimes it's like that. You ever had that? You witness to somebody about Jesus, they have zero interest. They aren't interested in coming to church. They're not interested in the Bible. They're not interested in you. They're not interested in anything you have to say. Okay, that happens sometimes, and we're just being honest. The first fruit of faithful witnessing might be nothing that you can see. Now, do you know for a fact that nothing was happening in their heart? No. In fact, what you do know for a fact is God's word never goes forth what? Void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which he sends it, Isaiah 55. Just like rain coming down out of the heavens, right? Never goes back there without accomplishing the purpose for which he sent it. So God's word never goes forth without accomplishing what God wants accomplished. Be encouraged. Just keep witnessing. The first fruit might be nothing that you can see, but number two. Number two, it might be disciples of you, which isn't the goal, but it's not a bad thing. Verses 35 and 36. Again, the next day, Spirit of God is showing you, John is faithfully witnessing even though no one is following Jesus. Again, the next day, John stood with two of what? His disciples. Now you might think, my goodness, out of all these crowds from Judea and Jerusalem and the areas around the Jordan, only two. No, not true. Actually, here's where the Greek comes in quite handy. It literally reads, again, the next day, John stood and out of his disciples, two. meaning out of all the disciples he'd already gained by this point, two are standing with him, beside him. He had more than two. But it does say they're disciples of him. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, somebody who listens to what you have to say. They're listening, and they're learning, and following along, right? John has two of his disciples. Two are listening to him, listening to what he has to say. They're not walking away. So is the goal to make disciples of you? No, it is not. And John's goal was not to make disciples of him, but is this a bad thing? No, not if you're telling them about Jesus, right? This is not a bad thing at all. Some of you have children and grandchildren. They aren't believers yet, but you're witnessing to them about Jesus. Well, they're disciples of you. That's a great thing. It's like saying, is it a good thing to have students? Well, if what you're teaching them is the Word of God, if what you're teaching them is about forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Jesus Christ, if what you're teaching them is the truth about the world we live in, praise God if you have some disciples of you as a starter. Well, John has that, but that's not the goal. And the thing to do, if you have disciples of you, if you have people, if you have children, grandchildren, friends, neighbors, relatives, co-workers, dirt bike riding buddies who are listening to you, the thing to do is to keep telling the truth about Jesus Christ. Not, I don't mean beat them over the head with the Bible. I just mean you're going to pray for wisdom and pray for discernment. And here and there, you're going to keep talking to them about Jesus Christ. Verse 36, that's what John does. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John is saying for the benefit of his disciples, look, remember what I told you yesterday? Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here is the sacrifice for our sins that God himself has provided, who takes away the sin of this world, namely everyone who ever believes. We went over that last time, right? Jesus Christ is the sacrifice provided by the God of heaven to take away forever all the sins of everyone who will ever believe. That's what Jesus is. That's good news. So John here, first, no fruit, doesn't see anything. Then he's got two disciples of his own, and what does he do? He keeps on witnessing to them about Jesus Christ. And what happened? What was the fruit? Verse 37. The two disciples heard him speak, and then they followed Jesus. Verse 37, here's number three, answer number three. What is the fruit of faithful witnessing? Well, at first, nothing you can see. Number two, maybe disciples of you. Answer number three, disciples of Jesus eventually. Well, that's good news. I'm starting to rhyme like Nate Brown. Verses 37 to 39. Look at verse 37 again. The two disciples heard him speak, and then they followed Jesus. Now, what does it mean they followed Jesus? Well, it does mean literally, at least it means literally, Jesus was right there. Jesus has come into this world to live a sinless life, fulfill the law of God, which none of us can fulfill, and then go to the cross to pay the price for our sins. Well, this is the beginning of Christ's ministry. And they literally followed Jesus. However, John, in his gospel, will more than a few times, I'll try to bring it out as we go through the gospel, John, the apostle, will more than a few times use words with a double meaning. And they followed Jesus. Yes, literally, but also as students after their teacher. Look at verse 38. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say teacher, Aramaic word for teacher. "Where are you staying?" What John is showing us is, hey, look, this is good news. This is a fruit of John's faithful witnessing. Now, these two of John's disciples are responding to what John is saying, and now they're looking at Jesus as their teacher instead of John as their teacher. You know what my goal is? Don't look at me as your teacher. Look at Jesus as your teacher. Yes, he will use me, and he'll use Pastor Dan and Pastor Rick and Pastor Drew and other brothers in this church who teach the word. He'll use sisters in this church who teach the word. But none of us wants you to look at us like, oh, you're my rabbi, you're my teacher. I really don't. It kind of grates, I'll tell you, when people call certain people rabbi. Jesus said, don't call anyone teacher. Jesus is your teacher. These disciples, this is good news. These disciples are seeing Jesus as their rabbi. Now, why did they say, look at verse 38. Why did they say, where are you staying? Do they want to see Jesus' house? No, actually, where are you staying was a way for disciples in that day to say, we want to spend time with you. We want to spend time. Where do you stay? They did not want a quick discussion. Morris writes, they wanted a long talk. They wanted a long talk, not a brief encounter. Is this a good thing? This is a very good thing. This is what you want your kids to say one day. You want your, I mean, maybe not out loud, but you want them to say, how could I get to know Jesus myself? How could I experience fellowship with Jesus Christ? Is it possible for me to learn from Jesus the way you do, Mom? Dad? Is there any way that I could learn from Jesus like you learn from Jesus? How would I do that? This is very good. This is the fruit of faithful witnessing. Initially, it might seem like there is no fruit. Then you might have disciples of you. But if you're faithful to keep on teaching them about Jesus, the fruit of that is that some will follow Jesus. They'll become learners of his. And Jesus welcomes ones like that. Look at 139. Take a look. He said to them, come and see. Jesus doesn't say, nah, you know, I really don't want to hang out with you guys. Who are you? No, Jesus, and to this day, Jesus welcomes those who want to learn with him. When people ask me, where would I even start in the Christian faith? I say, you know, why don't you open the Gospel of John, and as you read, just ask questions. Ask questions of God in prayer. God, what are you saying here? What are you teaching here? What does this mean? You could just ask one question throughout the entire Gospel of John. God, what are you teaching? And read the Gospel of John. That'd be a great starting point. And God will welcome that. Jesus Christ will welcome you seeking him that way. 139 says, he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. So those two who had become disciples of John the Baptist, they hear what he's saying. John keeps pointing them to Jesus. Then they followed after Jesus. They start conversing with Jesus, having fellowship with him. And now they get to spend the entire day with Jesus. You ever spent the entire day with Jesus? You know that you can do that to this day? You can spend the entire day in prayer and the Word of God. Man, imagine if that was your living. Oh, you would be, of all people, most blessed. The two spent the day with Jesus, not just hanging out, but no doubt asking him questions. He's their teacher. They call him rabbi. And he's answering them. Now notice end of verse 39 says, now it was about the 10th hour. Yeah, probably that's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They spent the rest of the day with Jesus. Who's writing this? John the Apostle. How does he know it's about the 10th hour? How does he know what time of day it is? How does he know that verse 36, that John the Baptist happens to be looking at Jesus as he walked? That's the way that is written. How does he know? Because he was there. And highly likely, almost everyone agrees, he's one of the two who was standing with John, sees John as the teacher. John sees Jesus, points him out, look, the Lamb of God. And John starts walking after Jesus. John spent that day with him. Unforgettable. But who's the other one? Verse 40. One of the two who heard Jesus speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. What did he do? Verse 41. He first found his own brother Simon. Stop. Here's answer number 4. Right? Do you see it? This is the fruit of faithful witnessing. At first, nothing you can see. Second, maybe disciples of you initially. But third, disciples of Jesus eventually. And now fourth, other witnesses for Jesus. Because look what he does. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first, verse 41, found his own brother Simon. Now, there's actually a lot of fun with the word first. If you look at commentaries, he first, what do you think that means? Well, probably your first guess will be first, like as a first order of business. Yep, it might mean as a first order of business, he went and found his brother Simon. Remember, there's massive crowds out there by the Jordan River, and he first, as a first order of business, his first response to hearing and finding out that Jesus is the Messiah, he first goes to find his own brother. And there's application there. Maybe a first person for you to witness to is your own brother or sister in Christ. By the way, this isn't in my notes, but I just remembered this. I taught the Gospel of John, or actually I taught Life of Christ in Russia in 2002. And when I taught through Life of Christ, I taught this passage. And when I came to this, he first went and found his own brother. I called my brother from Russia. And what are you calling me for? And I just went into the gospel. I said, you know, I was studying the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and I saw how Andrew went and found his brother Simon. And I said, you know what? I wanted to call you. Yeah, maybe as a first item of business, go get your brother or sister or somebody that you know. But first could also mean, and this one's kind of fun, if the other person there is John the Apostle, you know, later he talks about kind of racing Peter to the empty tomb. It could be, Andrew first went and found his brother. He beat me to it because John the Apostle went and found his brother also. Now, you can have fun with that, and that might be the meaning of first. Or it could mean Andrew first went and found his own brother, but then he also went and found other people, and so did John. Bottom line, it's not the main point. Let's keep going. He first went and found his own brother, found him in the big crowd, and said to him what? We have found the Messiah. There's his testimony. That's not complex, right? That's faithful witnessing. Your witness might be, hey, I found the Savior. That's good witnessing. Hey, I have found God. That's good witnessing. Hey, I have found redemption. I have found forgiveness. I have found joy. I have found meaning in life. I have found the answers to my questions. Don't say I found religion. I don't think that's a good one. Hey, we found the Messiah. And what did that mean to Simon Peter? I have found the great prophet of God promised by Moses in Deuteronomy 18, the prophet that everyone must listen to or else. It meant I have found the great priest of God promised by David in Psalm 110, who will be a priest forever. It meant I have found the great king promised by God in Psalm 2, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 61, and Daniel 7, the one who will reign in eternity. It meant I have found the great Savior from our sins who will suffer and die in our place and rise again. Isaiah 53, Psalm 16. Right? There were so many passages about the anointed one, the Christ, and this message, this one-liner from Andrew to his brother Simon was like a rock. He just dropped a bomb. We have found the promised one. That's good witnessing. That's the good news in a nutshell. And Andrew went and shared it first with his brother. Verse 42, I love this. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, I think there's a double meaning there, right? I mean, he literally did. He brought him to Jesus, but he brought his brother to Jesus. Can you do that today? Can you bring somebody to Jesus? Yes. And you should. You should want to, right? I want to bring people to Jesus. That's good old Baptist preaching, right? Bringing in the sheaves. Let's break out in song. Bringing in the sheaves, right? What's that? How's it go? Rescue the perishing. There you go. Go tell it on the mountain. We've got all kinds of songs about this. And he brought him to Jesus. What is this? It's the fruit of faithful witnessing. And notice how the Spirit of God makes this clear. Look at verse 40 again. Notice. One of the two who heard John speak, that's part one, and then, as what? As a result of John speaking, followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, witnessed to him, we found the Messiah, and he brought him to Jesus. It's like this chain, this link. And the Spirit of God is saying, yeah, this is good stuff. This is the testimony of John bearing fruit, is what this is. Fruit number one, maybe nothing you can see. Fruit number two, maybe disciples of you. Fruit number three, disciples of Jesus eventually. And fruit number four, there's more. Witnesses for Jesus, like Andrew, going out and telling other people about Christ. And then what? Is that it? No, I said at least five, so number five. What is the fruit of faithful witnessing? Changed lives forever. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, looked at Simon, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah, as in right now, that's who you are. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Now what was a stone back in those days? It was a building material. A stone was something you built houses out of. It's not the word for rock, something that you would build a house upon. Hint, hint, Matthew 16. This is the word for a rock, something you build houses out of. And he says, you are going to be called a stone. And we should think of the fact that Jesus radically changed Peter's life, and he became a foundational stone in the structure which we now call the church. Peter made that great confession. Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And they gave their answer. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, a stone, and on this rock, the rock truth of Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it. Listen, beloved, to this day, Jesus Christ is building his church. And you know what he's doing to build it? He's employing servants of his to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. That's why he's called us. You are a chosen nation to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You shall be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. We are called to witness for Jesus Christ. And what is the fruit of faithful witnessing? What does it bear? What does it bring forth? At first, maybe nothing. Then disciples maybe of you who are listening to what you have to say. Then disciples of Jesus. Then witnesses for Jesus and changed lives eternally. Because Peter's life was radically changed, and so was the life of everyone else we're reading about in this context. You say, well, is that it? No. It gets even better. There's two more I have to add from the remaining verses. Answer number 6. What is the fruit of faithful witnessing? It is Jesus Christ himself working with you. Look at what happens next. 143. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. What is the Spirit of God showing us here? Jesus is joining in too. He is also witnessing. You say, well, why? Remember his promise? What was his promise to his disciples? And this is, of course, later in after he was risen from the dead. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, behold, look at this, believe this. I am with you all the days, even to the end of the age. We have that today. Jesus Christ works with you in witnessing. If you ever witness to someone else, you will never do it alone. Never. Why? Because you have the promise of Jesus Christ himself that he is with you in that work every single day till the end of the age. You never witness alone. That's good news. Because you have more boldness when there's two. You really do. If you go witnessing, there's more boldness when there's two. Well, great. It's you and Jesus. If you can get a third, that's great. This is the fruit of faithful witnessing. Jesus himself with you in the work. Notice, and Jesus is here working alongside this whole time. 43, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. There's the call of the gospel. If you want to know what does Jesus want from you, Jesus says, just follow me. That means listen to what Jesus says. Learn from him. Ask him questions. Learn about life. Learn about sin. Learn about heaven and hell. Learn about how to live life in a way that's wise and brings you joy. Verse 44, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. What do we have? A new witness for Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, hey, we found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's good witnessing. It's just to tell what you found. Hey, I found, fill in the blank. Anything that connects to Jesus. Salvation, joy, I found a family. I found a good church. I found answers to questions. I found the way to heaven. I found the key to all religion. I found the truth. All that is good witnessing. Verse 46, and Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip could go, okay, never mind. You're a smart aleck. And he says, well, come and see. You know, really, can there be a good church? Come and see. Really, can you find joy? Come and see. Really, is there answers to our questions? Come and see. And invite them to church, invite them to a Bible study, whatever. Come and see. Verse 47, Jesus, working alongside Philip, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Look, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." Here's a true Israelite, a true believer in the Scriptures. Nathanael said to him, verse 48, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." John 1:49. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi," oh, what do we have? A new disciple of Jesus who's looking to Jesus as a teacher. "Rabbi, you're the Son of God." Wow, what an easy convert. I'm like, wow. I don't know. I didn't include that as my fruit of faithful witnessing. Easy converts, I didn't include that. That'd be like 0.6 and a half. "Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." What are we seeing? The fruit of John's faithful witnessing. Didn't look like anything at first. Then he's got two disciples of his own. Then they become followers of Jesus. They spend the day with him. They become convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the prophet, the Savior, the priest, the King. They go out. One of them goes out and tells others. Probably John did too. There's new witnesses for Jesus. Jesus himself comes alongside. He's working with them to spread the gospel and tell others who Jesus is. And you see now multiple disciples of Jesus, multiple witnesses for Christ. Why? In order that people would be saved and have eternal life. Man, that's good news. Want to be a part of that? I do. I want to be a part of that. So is that it? Ha! Hardly. That is not it. In fact, the last is better than the first six. It can't be. Yeah, it can be. Yep. Number seven. One more fruit of faithful witnessing. Ready? You'll see greater things than that. Look at 150. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." Now, you see where Jesus says, "You will see greater things than these"? Anybody have a King James Bible? Nate Brown, you got a King James Bible? No, what? Oh, that's no good. Who's got a King James? What's the word there? Is it Y-E? Ye? Oh, it's thou? See, that's a mistake. That is a mistake. It's ye. It's plural. It's you plural. That's one of the things that gets lost in the English language. You plural and you singular is the same in English today. It used to be ye and thee. And it's here plural. It's y'all. If you're in the South, it's yuns guys if you're from Pennsylvania, or yous. Yuns guys, you all will see greater things than these. All of you who are followers of me, you're going to see greater things than this. This is a promise to all disciples. And then he says this, verse 51. He said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, bank on this. Hereafter you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Who remembers Jacob's ladder? That's a very clear reference to Jacob's ladder in Genesis 28. Let me remind you of the story so that you understand what Jesus is saying. Jacob's ladder, Genesis 28. Jacob was traveling. He'd come to a certain place in Haran. He camped out. Camping is biblical. Just making sure you're paying attention. Jacob came to a certain place in Haran. He camped out. He spent the night there. He laid his head upon a rock. He didn't have a blow-up pillow. He had a dream, and in the dream, behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. Its top reached to the heavens, and there, angels of God were ascending and descending on the ladder. In that dream, God made a promise to Jacob, same promise he'd made to Jacob's father Abraham. It was a promise of blessing. "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father. I'm the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your seed. Your seed will be as the dust of the earth. You will spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Meaning everyone who ever believes in this God, Jehovah God, will be blessed. Who is Jehovah? Jesus Christ. Right? And then he said, "Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done all that I have spoken to you." Jacob awoke from his sleep, and what did he say? He said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." What's the promise of Jesus Christ to his disciples? You'll see greater things than these. You are going to see things that make you say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. You're going to see the Lord at work. Now, you're also going to see that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven and to all the blessings of God. You're going to see that Jesus Christ is the way to have heaven open and the blessings of God poured out on your life. You're going to see that in Jesus Christ you have the provision of God and the protection of God for this life. You're going to see that in Jesus Christ you have wisdom and direction and understanding and confidence and hope. You're going to see that in Jesus you have the angels of God protecting you and keeping you in all your ways, because what are they? Angels? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who will inherit salvation? And in the end, just like Jacob, you will see, surely the Lord is in this place. You will see evidence of God's presence with you wherever you go. That is good news. And it's all true. My time's up, but I have to tell you a story. And it's true, even though it's hard to believe. But love believes all things. And really, that does mean that love believes things a brother or sister will tell you. And I'm going to tell you, and it's true, and it's yesterday, so it's not something that I've forgotten. So yesterday, I enjoyed a beautiful day of some trail riding in the mountains. Yes, dirt biking. Trail riding in the mountains, which I seek to use for the gospel. I'm always praying that God will give some kind of an opportunity for the gospel when I go. I met up yesterday with a friend named Richard, who's a brother in Christ, and who is a very good fellow witness for Jesus Christ. On numerous occasions already, he and I have had chances to talk with others about Jesus. When I arrived at his place in Woodland Park, he told me that another guy would be joining us, a guy named Andy, somebody that Richard had not met yet. He said he just saw that this guy was on Facebook and looking for somebody to go riding with, that this guy was also from Woodland Park. So Richard said, well, let's wait a bit because another guy, Andy, is going to join us. I haven't met him yet, don't know anything about him. So Andy came, initial, how you doing, what's your name, where are you from, etc. Small talk, went riding. And throughout the day, we took a few breaks, and as we took breaks, we got to know each other a little bit better, not much, you know. But Richard and I would say things like, man, praise the Lord, what a beautiful day. Boy, isn't God good? Look at his scenery. Wow. And, what do you do, Andy? What do you do for a living? And he's in sales and marketing for a business that his parents run. And, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Well, what do you do? And so we're talking. Anyways, within the course of a few hours riding, you can get to know somebody a little bit. When we're all done, we're loading up our bikes. Andy is loading his bike in the back of his truck, and he says, hey, I know you said you're a pastor, and I know you guys have talked a little bit about God. I wouldn't mind having a deep religious conversation with you sometime, because I have a lot of questions. Now, the next part I have to tell you is the hard part that's hard to believe. I'm telling you, just then this big rushing wind came blowing through the valley. And I go, wow. And Richard says to Andy, he says, it's not by chance that you came riding today with two Christians. And Andy goes, I was thinking the same thing. I'm telling you, beloved, faithfully witness for Jesus Christ. It will bear fruit in due time. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. And you will see that surely the Lord is in this place. And you did know it. And you'll see him at work. Just before I end, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, maybe you're here because somebody invited you, I can tell you, they invited you because they care about you. They want you to be in heaven. There's no greater desire. Imagine your friend saying, hey, I want you to go to heaven with me. I want you to live forever. I want you to have all your sins forgiven. I want you to have joy. I want you to have hope. I want you to have peace with God. There is no greater desire. If somebody invited you to church today, it's because they care about you and they want you to come to know Christ. And we would tell you, hey, we've found the Savior. We have found God. We have found heaven. We've found forgiveness. We want you to have that. If you're here today and you came in these doors without Jesus Christ, don't leave without Jesus. Pray. Just say, Lord, help me to know you. Help me to get to know you. Spend time with him. Ask questions. Get to know Jesus Christ. We're here to help you with that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time and your word. Thank you for your encouragements. You're the great encourager, God. And we thank you that you encourage us in the work that you've given us to do. Help us to not lose heart, to not grow weary, for we will reap in due time. We believe that and we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.